Hi, this is Matt Haig, and thank you for listening to Hanshin Tigers English News.
Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Slugfest, the Slaughterfest. Hanshin Tigers English News. This is how you know you've got some real Hanshin Tigers fans. After a week as bad as this, we're still here delivering the news. We're still here doing a podcast for you, the people. Hi there, I'm T-Ray, and this is episode number 38. Marcos Mateo episode. With me as co-host this week is...
Got Joe coming back.
Joe is back from wherever he was. No, actually, we know where you were. How you doing, Joe? It's good to have you back.
Good. Not too bad. Glad to be home finally and back onto the podcast.
Yeah, man. You had a long stretch away from us and a long stretch away from, in a sense, and away from real world or whatever. But tell us a little bit about what you've been up to, man.
Yeah, so I had my bachelor party that first weekend and then got married the weekend after that. And then, And then the following weekend after that, went on a family vacation down to the Outer Banks in North Carolina. So it's just a lot of getting away and not following baseball too much because I got other things going on. But caught some of the games this week, but, turned them off pretty quickly. You know, not a fun week to watch baseball, let's put it that way.
No. Well, you know, maybe you're the reason that the team slumped so bad. Missed having Joe on the podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Yeah, well, it definitely, we went through some real rough patches, but I'm glad that you were able to get away and not have to experience it with us. But so tell us a little bit about the bachelor party. Was pretty good times?
Yeah, we went to a Phillies game in Philadelphia, and then it was an afternoon game, so it was pretty toasty out. But I caught a ball from one of the players. He, caught the fly ball out in the third out and tossed it up in the crowd, and I got it. So that was pretty cool.
Okay, sweet.
Yeah. And then kind of just went out to a whole bunch of bars the rest of the afternoon and went out to dinner at a Brazilian steakhouse. And so had quite a good time. So just a good evening with some friends. And then came back that next morning. We drove back from Philadelphia. It's only about an hour and a half to where I live. So so that was a good night. And then had the wedding the next Friday. So a lot of stuff to get done during the week, family showing up into town and stuff like that. So it was a long week, but the wedding turned out great, and everything went well. We went to take pictures after the wedding and outside, and a storm cloud was rolling in, so we were like, all right, hurry up, hurry up. But we got all the pictures we needed to in, so it worked out well. So
good. I'm glad to hear that, and I hope that the new stage of your life is really fulfilling and awesome. Man, it's good to hear your voice again. And as you know, if you listened in, I'm not sure if you did, but I had Zorny fill in the first week, and then Jimbo came in for a couple weeks as well. So we had some good times, but it's good to have regular Joe back.
Yep, it's good to be back.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, did you catch the Haig interview that I did?
I did. That was awesome. That was cool. Good.
Yeah, glad to hear that. I hope that we can have him back on again. He seemed to enjoy himself as well, so yeah, for sure. All right, everybody. As you can tell from the background music, we're switching things up just in a little twist of irony. Hanshin Tigers, Ichiban. Yeah, you know we're Ichiban from the bottom. Okay, so we're going to talk about the week that was, and we're going to go into some special topics, all that stuff. Stick around. See you in a bit. So, Mr. Joe, this is the third week that you missed, and in this particular week, we had two series. The first one was against Kyojin, right? So we went into Tokyo Dome, and we faced them for a three-set. the first game, we brought Randy Messenger to the mound, and they brought Utsumi to the mound, who is a super veteran who has spent a lot of time rehabbing injuries, stuff like that. So as we go through a bit of the scoring here, Joe, this one was actually complete silence until the sixth inning.
Mm-hmm.
And in the bottom of the sixth inning, we kind of got into a bit of trouble after the first out, which was, you know, at this point, Randy has gone, I believe he's gone perfect, and he struck out 11, I think, through these first five and a third innings. So incredible pitching from Randy.
Absolutely.
And he walked the first guy, and I think it was on a full count. It was a tough call to make, but he walked a guy. The next guy got on a Gomez error, and that was through a sacrifice bunt that went wrong for us. And then the wheels fell off. They got three runs on a Sakamoto hit, a Chono hit, and then an Abe hit. Pardon me, Chono's was a sac fly, but then an Abe hit. And it was 3-0 before the end of the sixth inning. Real unfortunate way for the wheels to come off for Randy, but it's very similar to what happened to him last week as well against DNA. So anyways, 3-0 heading into the seventh, Joe.
Yeah, so top of the seventh, you know, we actually kind of come back and have the bases loaded with two outs. And then on a 3-1 count to Hataguchi, he gets a, you know, Oshidashi walk and gets a run. So, Yeah, it's kind of tough to see that we actually, you know, can get a run, but it's the tough way of getting it on a walk. But, you know, not being able to do anything more than that's pretty disappointing, especially in a game where, you know, Randy pitched such a good start to the game. And I think they, after that walk from Hataguchi, Randy actually got pinch hit for by Nishioka, you know, because we had a chance to score more runs, but he grounded into first. So
got pinched nothing.
It was, you know, I don't know if it, you know, Randy was, I think, done at that point, you know, after his scramble in the sixth. So, So really didn't, you know, tough to see that we had a real good chance of coming back and at least getting two runs in that inning, but only to get one was kind of tough. But right. In the eighth, Toritani. I don't even remember the players on our team.
He's Italian now,
yeah,
right?
Toritani. So he comes up with a 2-2 count, one out, and cranks a home run to right, actually. So we're back.
To right.
Yeah.
He pulled one.
Yeah.
Woo! Amazing.
So we actually have a chance, you know, have a somewhat of a chance. And actually in the ninth, we get a runner into scoring position in the second and two outs, but, Ito grounds into first and the game over. So, you know, a close game, you know, one that we had a chance, you know, with good pitching from Randy. But it just didn't come out in the end.
Yeah. So we had gone 4-2 at Tokyo Dome at this point, or before this game, which is a miracle in itself, and we had a chance to extend that beyond. And it was really just that one inning where things fell apart a little bit for Randy, and the one, you know, the one error by Gomez, which was really unfortunate. And, you know, people were throwing Gomi under the bus for that. And, you know, in some ways it's kind of like understandable because it was on a bunt. It wasn't a hard one to ground, and yet he bobbled it, and then his throw to first was not in time. And were it not for that, it probably would have been a much closer game, if not a Tigers win. But, you know, errors happen, and Gomez has actually been reasonably solid in the field. So it's not that I'm gonna give him a pass on this or anything. I mean, an error is an error, but, you know, these things do happen. So it's kind of an unfortunate way for that one to end, for sure. Anything else on that one, or should we move into Wednesday?
Yes, go on.
Okay, so Wednesday, we bring Iwazaki to the mound, and they bring Taguchi to the mound. And this one, the scoring did not, nothing happened in the scoring department until the top of the third inning, and that means top of the inning, so it's a Tigers score.
Yep, so Fukudome with comes up with two outs, runners on first and third, and actually gets an infield hit to second to score the first run. So definitely a you know, a good way to start the game with a, you know, early, you know, first third of the game to get a lead. You know, I think that was not to be.
Mm-hmm. So again, that was one run, and then we still had runners in scoring position, but the inning ended without us getting anything more. And then in the fifth inning, Iwazaki had been pretty good up to this point, but he allowed a solo shot to Murata with one out. So that tied the game at one. And then the very next inning, with runners on all bags, with one out and the bases juiced, Abe comes through with a big RBI hit right up the middle. And it's 3-1, and that's how this one ends, a 3-1 loss. So two straight losses in Tokyo Dome. Now we're 4-4 at the Dome, and we're on a... is it a two-game losing streak, or is it three?
I'm not sure. I don't
know. That's right, you were gone.
let's see.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the previous Sunday we lost because it was...
Maybe we went 1-1. Sorry, so we were on a two-game losing streak after this one. So after this one, it's a three-game losing streak.
A three-game losing streak, that's right, yeah. So not looking pretty. Any thoughts on this one here?
I thought the only inning that we had a leadoff hit was the fourth, and it was a double from Egoshi and then a hit by Nakatani. So we had a heck of a chance to get some runs in the fourth, and it didn't happen. And actually in the eighth, after one out, we had the exact same thing happen with a double with Egoshi and a hit by Nakatani. So we definitely had our chances to score the runs in this game. We had nine hits to their six. So one run on nine hits is pretty tough. Had them spread out. So,
well, but at least our captain got a couple walks too, to add to that. It was nine hits, but then we also got, we had three walks total, I guess. Yeah. And the captain got two of them, so he's doing his duty.
Yeah, and Nakatani went 4-for-4, so it was a good game for him. So, I think the batting was there. They just weren't in the right order, to get us what we needed. But, we finally had a game where they actually kind of showed up a little bit. So almost hit that double-digit mark.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised on both of those situations that you mentioned earlier that it was an Egoshi double followed by a Nakatani single, and neither of those singles was, I guess it wasn't deep enough for Egoshi to dare try for home, or I'm not really sure exactly, but he did not. And so that put us with runners on first and third. I don't know. I mean, they must have just been dinky singles or whatever that just weren't deep enough for him to dare, because Egoshi's got, decent wheels. So
yeah, I mean, I think the thought may have been with no outs and then with one out, you maybe played a little bit more conservative, especially in a close game. The one in the eighth, maybe you really try to leg it out because we're down at that point. But in the fourth, when we were still leading, I don't know.
Yeah, and especially this team, because we're so good at hitting in the clutch that, anything could happen. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah, right. Okay, so,
Well, even with a sack fly with a runner on third. So,
yeah.
No outs. Yeah, exactly. The odds of not getting a sack fly there, it's...
Well, both those innings, we did have that exact chance, at a sack fly, scoring a run, but we had a line drive out by Iwazaki, followed by a strikeout by Iwazaki on the bunt fail in the fourth, and then in the eighth inning, with one out, it was a Haraguchi fly ball that I guess was not deep enough to score a run. So, yeah, real unfortunate. 3-1. We've got two straight losses. And honestly, I'm thinking pretty pessimistically at this point, because the next day, which is Thursday, we're bringing Koyo Aoyagi to the mound. And he's had some decent outings, I guess, but he's never gone more than five innings, if I'm not mistaken, in any given start. He walks a ton of guys. The Giants' bats tend to be pretty selective, and they're pretty good at earning walks. So I thought to myself, this could very well be a sweep.
However, but we started off the game, we actually scored runs in the first inning. How about that? When's the last time that has happened?
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
was I born yet? I don't know.
So Fukudome comes up with runners on first and second, count 1-0, and actually gets a double to center to score both runners. So... the two leadoff actually people were walks. So, it's good to start the game with a crooked number up there and have two runs, in the first. So
for sure.
And then the scoring continues by the Tigers here. And in the third, Gomez with a runner on first actually hits a right center field two run home run, gets it pretty far up the stands as well. Mm-hmm. And they said this was the, this is his, he had 31 games without a home run. So yes. A long time, month and a half almost, I guess, without a home run. So it's good to see Gomez come back, and it's now 4-0 Tigers after the third.
Yeah.
And then going into the fifth, Gomez comes up with the bases loaded with a 2-1 count and gets a hit to left to score two more runs. So 4 RBIs from Gomez today. And, you know, we're up 6-0 in the fifth. And Aoyagi had a stellar 7 innings that he had, gave up one hit, 6 strikeouts, and only gave up 4 walks. So definitely a solid start out of Aoyagi. Probably the best start of the week by any of our pitchers.
Absolutely. Well, 4 walks in 7 innings is not stellar, but when you combine that with just one single, it is stellar.
Yeah.
For Aoyagi, that was definitely a confidence booster, and he just found a way. I mean, he played the inside and outside corners really well, and so these guys, I mean, it wasn't so much the up and down that had them, but he was finding the inside part of the plate really well, and then he's just got a great slider, and because he's a self-professed what do you call it? He calls it the quarter throw, you know. So it's not quite sidearm. It's not quite submarine. It's kind of halfway between those, and so it's a tough angle. I mean, these guys on the Giants have not faced that kind of a pitcher, unless they faced him earlier in the year, which I don't think they did. So you know, this is a tough one for them just to figure out. And he just was fooling them most of the day. He induced a ton of grounders, and so that was really great to see as well. One more note on this one, and this is just a minor point, but in the fifth inning when Gomez got the 2 RBI, it actually should have been just 1. But what happened was, with the bases loaded and no outs, Fukudome hit one to right field. And Nishioka, who was on third base, did not tag up. Or he was late in tagging up. He kind of took a little bit of lead off the third, and he didn't get back to the base to be able to leave third right when the guy caught it. And if he had, it would have easily been a run scored. And I mean, it's just a minor point because he did come in and score on the Gomez hit anyways. But, you know, it's just one of those things where it puts a little blemish on Fukudome's record, and it looks bad for Nishioka. And honestly, he didn't have a great week, so it's kind of a bummer. But, you know, what matters here is that we got the win.
Well, yeah, and then we stopped a 3-game losing streak. So, you know, and we, you know, beat the Giants in their place. So, you know, slight bit of confidence, you know, we need this every once in a while, I guess, to continue on. Otherwise, we might as well shut down. Yeah. But
We're 5-4 in their barn this year so far, which is great. This is our first time scoring 6 runs in, I think it's 30 games. So, you know, we were held to 5 and under for 30 straight games. This was our first 6-run win and our first huge win in, I don't know, I think it was more than 30 games for sure. Because that one that we, the last time we scored 6 runs, it was 6-4 against these same Giants in their barn as well. And it was where Haraguchi and Haig hit back-to-back home runs in the top of the 9th to pad the lead to 6-2. And then QG gave up 2 runs in the bottom of the inning. So anyways, that's just a little throwback there. Speaking of throwbacks, Matt Haig, we miss you. Come back to the team because we need your hitting. And this was the only day of the week. Sorry to spoil this, but it's the only day of the week that we actually got a good amount of hits and runs.
Mm-hmm.
Good way to end the series.
Definitely. Yeah. Gotta love beating the Giants at home. So, at their barn. So.
So after that, and you know, with a little bit of momentum or a little bit of confidence, we come back to our home stadium, and we are going to face the red hot Central League leading Hiroshima Carp, and we're bringing our quote unquote ace Shintaro Fujinami to the mound, and they are bringing their ace Chris Johnson to the mound, and it's kind of a rainy day, so not an ideal day for playing baseball, but. Here it is, 3 straight against the Carp, and I think we're going to move through this one pretty quick, Joe, because there's not a lot of joy in Mudville.
Exactly.
So this one starts off real fast. You know, Fujinami said before the game, what I definitely need to do in this one is to avoid giving up too many unnecessary walks and too many base runners. I need to make this a little bit of a lower stress game for myself. I need to work hard, concentrate, and bear down. So he walks the first guy. Anyways, the tail of the tape is in the first inning, he gave up 3 runs, one of which was a result of, or maybe even, yeah, it was one. It was the result of, there was the second guy up, Kikuchi hit a double to left field, but homeboy, what's his name? Egoshi bobbled it, and that resulted in the first run scored. And then they got another run on a Suzuki single, and then there was another run scored. I think it was while the next guy was up, and they did it was kind of a double steal. Not really. I mean, they had runners on first and third. The one guy took off for second base. Okazaki threw it. There was nobody at second base. And then the guy from third was able to make it home. And so it was really junky way to start this one. 3-0 after one inning. You know, and this is Fujinami who said he's going to bear down. And then the next inning he gives up a solo home run. So now it's 4-0. And then in the third inning, after an error by Yamato, and then a stolen base, and then an advance runner, they score on a sac fly. So now it's 5-0. So Fujinami has given up 5 after 3 innings, is looking absolutely awful. Meanwhile, our bats are looking every bit the same awful, right? At least through 3 innings.
Right. Yeah, we were 3 up. Well, sorry, we had a walk for Tony Tani there in the first. But other than that, we were 3 up and 3 down through the first 3. Uh-huh. So, coming in to start the fourth, something happened. We had a hit by Tony Tani, a hit by Egoshi, and then Fukudome with 0 outs, runners on first and second, gets a hit to center and gets a run scored. So
2 runs scored.
Well, 1 run, actually. And then later on in the next at-bat, there was a passed ball to score the next runner, I believe. So,
okay.
So yeah, he
okay.
only got one of the RBIs okay. there.
Actually, no, he didn't get an RBI.
No.
Because that one actually got past Maru. He misplayed it, and that's what resulted in the run. Yeah,
so no RBIs there by anybody, but we still get 2 runs out of it, though. And, you know, at this point, you know, early on in the game, it's 5-2. You think you might have a prayer, but we really don't have anything after that. We didn't have another hit the rest of the game, so...
Well, so let's talk a little bit more about that fourth inning, because after the Fukudome hit, we actually earned 2 walks and loaded the bases with no outs.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yeah, that's our golden chance. It's 5-2. We've got the bases juice with no outs. You know, we should be able to get – a normal team would be able to get at least 2 runs out of that.
Right.
And a bad team would get 1 run out of that. And the Tigers got no runs out of that. So, and yeah, strikeout followed by a double play. And we get out of that inning with no more runs, no more comeback. And then Fujinami settles in nicely until the 7th inning, when he allows a couple runners. And by the end of the 7th inning, by the end of the top of the 7th inning, he has thrown 131 pitches. And then he's due up in the bottom of the 7th. He's the 3rd one due up at the plate. So, you know, 131 pitches, that's the time where you'd say, okay, that is definitely overwork in and of itself.
Yep.
No, let's have him hit. No, let's have him throw the 8th inning. And the 8th inning was terrible. 2 hits, 1 walk, a hit batsman, and a bases clearing triple. So it is 8-2 now, and Fujinami struggled and labored to get out of that inning. He actually did eventually get out of the inning. But that was the end of his night. 161 pitches. 7 hits, 6 walks, 13 strikeouts. 6 earned runs, 8 runs total allowed by Fujinami.
37 batters so faced.
37 batters faced, yes. So that's it, 8-2. A terrible way to start this series. Terrible loss. Disgusting. We're going to talk more about Fujinami and Kanemoto's use of Fujinami in our special topic segment, so stick around for that. But let's move on to Saturday's game. So from this weekend on, Joe, until pretty much the end of the season or pretty close to season's end, it's going to be night games on the weekends because it is just too darn hot to play afternoon games in Japan.
It's fine by me. I actually get to watch some baseball. Day games are tough for me. Because it's on at like 1 or 2 a.m. over here. So,
Well, you might have wanted these ones to be day games, actually.
Yeah, no
given
kidding.
How they went. So Saturday, we bring Nomi to the mound, and they bring rookie Okada to the mound. And we have had bad success against Okada last time around, but this time we got the starting role. We got the scoring started in the bottom of the second inning.
Yeah, we actually lead off with a double from Nakatani, and then a hit by Hojo to have runners on first and third, no outs. And then Okazaki comes up and has a 0-1 count, and then gets a hit to right, and we get the run 1-0 Tigers. And then we actually have a walk by Nomi to load the bases, but
loaded bases, no outs. Heard this before?
Yes, and guess what? We scored none. So Nishioka struck out. Toditani had a short fly, and then Egoshi had the strikeout to end the inning. So we couldn't, even with the top of our lineup coming up, couldn't get any of it done, and have only one run. So you would think, you know, there could be more out of these, out of the, you know, the bats, but we don't get anything out of it.
Yeah, and so there you go. That's a huge momentum change in the game. And the very next inning, Nomi came up and struggled. Not that he was pitching particularly well up to this point anyways, but hit, and with two outs, a three-run home run by none other than former Hanshin Tiger, former sucky Hanshin Tiger, and now, all-world Hiroshima Carp, Takahiro Arai, who hits, you know, a big blast to left field. So 3-1 now for the Carp. And, to add to the misery, Nomi struggles again in the fifth inning. And another run comes through. This was on a hit by pitch, sacrifice bunt, and then a hit to right field. So now it's 4-1. And then Nomi's night ends after the sixth. And in the top of the seventh, Enogita comes in and says, I can do even worse. Home run, gets an out, hit, home run. So three more runs coming in top of the seventh. And that is all she wrote, 7-1. This one mercifully ends with a Toritani double play. But I think at this point, Joe, just to give some credit to our captain, you know, who's fighting for his life to get on base with walks, I think he's on a 4-game walk, maybe even a 5-game walk streak right now. He earned a walk in this one, so he's been walking his way on base all week. So you can't blame him, right?
Yeah.
He's a walking machine.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely, he had 3 walks on the last of the Giants games there, or the middle game of the Giants game. So he's definitely had his walks for sure. So, he didn't have a walk in the first game, so this is his 4th game in a row with walks. So.
Oh, and then I'm pretty sure he got one in today's Sunday's game as well. So, right. Okay, excellent. So 5 straight games. So keep that up, Toritani. You've got this Iron Man streak and the walk streak. There's no bench in you now. Doesn't matter if you're hitting 231 or whatever it is. There's no bench in you. Okay, so one more thing I just want to mention. It's real quick and not so super important, but with runners on first and second in the seventh inning. So it's already 7-1 at this point. Egoshi, man, he struck out looking, but let me tell you, there's no way that was a strike. I mean, it was at least 2 balls, like 2 ball widths outside, and it was below the kneecaps. And they still called it a strike 3. I think the ump was just saying, yeah, I'll help you guys. You know, I'll put you out of your misery here. Let's keep the game rolling. And so it's kind of unfortunate. But just watching that, it's disheartening for fans, too. It'd be like, well, geez, even the umps are against us in this one. So
yeah.
Ah, well.
Yeah.
You know, things can only get better from here, right, Joe?
Sure. How about no?
How about no? So... Sorry?
You know, say we at least had a run yesterday, okay?
Yeah, exactly. So here we go. It is now Sunday, and we are bringing Iwasada to the mound. And we might go over Iwasada's numbers a little bit in a little while here, but he has definitely not He's definitely not the same pitcher he was through the first 2 months of baseball this season.
Absolutely not.
It's been real rough for him. But so he comes to the mound, and we're going up against Toda, who I think beat us last time, but he's really not that great of a pitcher as far as numbers go. We should be able to get something off of him. But Iwasada, you know, you think that Fujinami started badly, or you think that Nomi fell apart? Iwasada trumps them all. Top of the first inning. Walk, walk, walk. Hit, hit. Grounder, walk. So that was the first inning with 3 runs, and that was totally all on Iwasada. You know, I mean, when you're walking 4 guys in the first inning, you know that you can't expect to get out without giving up a whole lot. So the second inning, let's improve upon that a little bit, Iwasada. How about that? Okay, so they got through their whole batting order the first inning, and they did even better in the second inning. So it was hit, hit, grounder, mm-hmm. which scored a run, then another run scoring hit, then a walk, then a walk.
Yep, I think he got pulled
and
there.
I think finally he got pulled there. Ishizaki came in and got one out, and then he allowed, I think.
Oh, he got pulled early because he got let those 2 walks in. So Ishizaki got.
Ishizaki, anyways, allowed. Oh, by the way, everybody, I actually turned this game off very early. I think it was maybe about 2 minutes after I turned it on. So I'm doing this all just looking at the score sheet because it was just too hard to watch.
Same here.
Yeah. So anyways, so needless to say, let's just cut to the chase. The Carp got 5 more runs in the top of the second inning. And we're already through 2 pitchers, and they have gone twice in a bit through their order. And we went 1-2-3 in the bottom of the first. So, you know, before our number 4 hitter, Fukunome, even steps up to the plate, their number 1 hitter, Tanaka, has seen our pitchers 3 times.
It's crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy. So 8-0 could have been a whole lot worse because they actually got a couple guys on in the third, didn't score. Mercifully, Arai decided to be his old self and hit into a double play for us just for old time's sake. he was probably laughing as he was running to first, going, mm-hmm. ha ha ha, I got you guys all series and I've gotten you guys all year. Ah, here's a little trip down memory lane for you. So that was that. And then in the top of the fifth, when we are on to our 4th pitcher, I believe, of the day, Yuya Ando served up a home run to Maru. So now it's 9-0. And that's how this one ends, because we had no life in our bats. We had no spirit whatsoever. I think we were just completely broken.
Yeah, the fourth we had runners on first and third, one out. But other than that, there really wasn't anything to speak of.
Yes. So. And again, you know, it's the same situation as it was earlier against the Giants, where Egoshi hits the double.
Right.
And so he's on second, and then a single doesn't score him again.
Right.
So this is a Fukudome single, and I don't know if it's just his lack of confidence, or if it's the third base coach holding him back, or if these hits are just really shallow or what.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, come on. At this point, you're down 8-0. I mean, you've got nothing to lose.
Yeah.
Nothing at all. I mean, you got to at least try to break the shutout, for crying out loud. Mm-hmm. But nope. We actually hit into 2 double plays in this game to help them out as well. One of them by Fukudome, one of them by Yamato, who, by the way, in this series had 2 at-bats, 2 double plays. So 4 outs from him with 2 swings of the bat. Good on you. Anything else you want to talk about in this one? The 9-0 finish, the sweep by the Carp.
Can we just
24-3 outscoring?
Can we just not play the Carp the rest of the year?
Yeah, that would be all right, except that I think the week after All-Star break we face them right away.
Awesome. Good.
So and yeah, it'll be in their barn. So maybe if at the very least it might be like last time where the Tigers teased us and we had a chance at winning all 3 and we lost all 3.
Yeah. That was sick.
I don't know which is worse,
yeah,
that or watching this absolute shellac.
Well, at least this is easy
home.
To turn off when we're watching
it,
then we get beat at the end. It's tough. So
yes, that's true. But I do feel bad for the fans that actually paid money to go to these games,
yeah,
just to watch our team get absolutely pulverized.
3 runs in 3 games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Give them their money back, Hanshin. Give them their money back. So, last week I predicted a 2-4. I predicted a 3-3 week. I predicted 2-1 against the Giants and 1-2 against the Cardinals.
That's generous.
I was being optimistic, as I admitted at the end of the show. And I was off by one win in both of those. So it was actually a 1-5 week. And my boy Jimbo said 2-1 against the Giants. And then he said sweep by the Carp. And he was bingo on the Carp series. Mm-hmm. So good on you, Jimbo. You had the guts to call it. I didn't. So here we are. We are a game and a half out of fifth place. We are 12 games under 500. Interesting. Heading into Interleague, I think we were 2 games above 500. Or maybe a game above 500.
Yeah, it must have been
a game above 500. Yeah. Still. So we are 13 games below 500 in that stretch, basically from May 31st until now.
Yeah, we only finished, 4 games under 500 after the Interleague or so? It wasn't too many.
Interleague was 4 games below 500 overall, so right. I think we were 3 under 500 at the end of Interleague.
Yeah, so we've had a real rough time since Interleague finished.
Ooh, yeah. So mercifully, and we'll get to this a little bit later, but we only have 2 more games until the All-Star break. Speaking of All-Stars, we have got 2 All-Stars. We've got actually 4 All-Stars on our team. 2 of whom got absolutely pulverized this week. One of them hasn't played most of the week. And one of them has not been hitting very well all week. So it's definitely, we're not looking like all-stars, not any of us. But on that note, Joe.
Every week, one tiger stands above the rest. He elevates his game to another level. He is the player of the week.
Dare we pick player of the week?
So, this was a tough choice for player of the week. Messenger had a good 5 innings, really good 5 innings, and then had a tough time in the 6th. Aoyagi had a really good game, especially for him. But and the bats, were kind of on and off. We had one good game for the bats, and the rest of it were never there. So, But I'm going to go with Fukudome. He hit 364 for the week, 8 for 22, and had 3 RBIs. Not too bad, for him. And 3 walks
So again, Nishioka actually could have made those numbers even better for Fukudome. It could have been 4 RBIs. It could have been 8 for 21 because it could have been a sac fly instead of just a fly out to right. But yeah, Fukudome, also one more note, and I think this happened before Friday's game. He was given a blazer as an induction into the Meikyu Kai, which is a Japanese, not quite Hall of Fame. It's not the Hall of Fame because they also do have one of those. But basically, it's like the renowned baseball players club. And by reaching certain numbers, you automatically get in. And one of those numbers is 2,000 career hits. And since he reached 2,000 for his career, including MLB, he's in.
Right.
So it was a good week for Fukudome as an individual. I'm sure he wasn't very happy with how things turned out for the team. But, he has been a model of consistency for this club. Definitely cannot disagree with your choice, but I will choose somebody else anyways.
All right.
There's really only 2 other options. One of them being Nakatani, who had a really good week, and then he had a bad today. But he was hitting the ball well. He walked a couple times as well, I think. But I'm not going to choose him either. I'm not going to choose Okazaki, who was okay at the dish, but he also called some really good games. And just the fact that he played all 6 games, or at least parts of all 6, is good for him. Mm-hmm. After he disappeared in May, thanks to Haraguchi. But I'm going to go with Koyo Aoyagi because I have not seen him pitch that well. And actually, other than Fujinami's one hitter against the Eagles, I've not seen that good of an individual performance from a pitcher not named Randy Messenger all season. So, yeah, good job. Aoyagi, 7 innings pitched, 1 hit against, 4 walks. Actually, I think it was 3 walks and a hit batsman. and then 6 strikeouts, and he got the only win of the week for the team. So congrats.
There you go.
And that's a wrap as far as Player of the Week goes.
Hunching Tigers English News. Hunching Tigers English News. Hunching Tigers English News. Hunching Tigers English News. Hot topics. Hot topics. Hot topics. Hot topics.
Now, Joe, I do definitely want to talk about an issue that I think is very important to the team. And it definitely made headlines, not just with the Tigers, but it made headlines all across NPB. A lot of people were asking, what is going on with these Hanshin Tigers? And you probably know what we're talking about. Friday night, Shintaro Fujinami threw 161 pitches, which is just an absurd amount of pitches to throw in the rain in a game that you're losing, in which there's no conceivable reason for doing this to a pitcher,
right?
Or is there? So that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about, you know, the way the game unfolded, what might have been going through Aniki's mind. By the way, if this continues and if we have a lot more madness out of our manager, guys, help me to name our new corner. We can't do What a Disaster anymore. The best I've got so far is Wacky Tomoaki.
That's pretty good.
So we might go with that if we don't have anything else. But if you can think of another name for this corner where we pick at our manager, you know, drop us a line and let us know. Anyway, so Wacky Tomoaki for this week. It's without a doubt this game. So here's the situation once again, just in case you missed it earlier. Fujinami allowed 3 runs in the first inning, 1 run in the second, and 1 run in the third. So 5 through 3 innings. Then he actually settled in pretty nicely, allowing just 1 hit in the next 3 innings while striking out 6. He struggled a bit in the seventh, but he got out without allowing anything. And again, after 7 innings, he's got 131 pitches under his belt, which is lots. And he came up to the plate in the bottom of the seventh, so it's not like they were saving him so that they could replace him with a pinch hitter later. I mean, they had their chance, but they still put him in. He threw 30 more pitches in the rain in a game that we're losing 5-2. What do you think, Joe? What's your opinion on this?
I was looking and I saw that his previous high was 152 pitches last year. Against Yokohama, so in July 24th.
Yep.
So that was his previous career high. So he's done this before. The bullpen, was used somewhat during the Giants games, but nothing like today's game. So it's not like they didn't have an undue burden on the bullpen the prior few games, right? So
yeah,
it's not like, you know, you had today where you had, 6, 7, 8 pitchers pitching the entire game. Your bullpen pitched the entire game except for the first inning. So, I really can't see why this happened. The only thing that I can think of is that he actually got deactivated today because he doesn't have to pitch next week because it's the All-Star break. So
right.
They think that was their one actual substance that he's not going to pitch next week, so we can let him go a little further, you know. But it was another 30 pitches, you know. It's like, I don't know. I don't see the benefit. He's, you know, a younger pitcher. He, you know, we need him for not just 2 more years. We need him for, you know, a good number of years, a good almost 10 years almost could be possible, you know. So it's like, why would you put him up to such physical stress of pitching 161 pitches? It just doesn't make sense.
So this is where the wacky of the Tomoaki comes into play, because Fujinami, like I had said earlier in the recap, had said before the game that he wanted to limit the number of walks. He wanted to keep, you know, his burden as light as he could through the game by not throwing an excessive amount of pitches. But let's actually scroll all the way back to the preseason, in which Fujinami said, look, I am this team's ace pitcher. My goal for this year is to pitch to pitch as deep into games as possible. I want to throw at least 7-8 innings every game that I'm in. And I want to establish that I'm going to lead this team to victory. Those were his words. And I believe, reading afterwards, that Kanemoto had said, you know, Fujinami has got to learn how to be an ace pitcher and what it means to be an ace pitcher. The responsibility of carrying the team, the responsibility of going deep in games. Which, by the way, Fujinami has gone the distance once this year, which is not at all high for him. I mean, I don't know what he's on pace for. That would put him on pace for maybe two this season, right? And that's not very becoming of an ace, especially in Japanese ball, you know, like where they expect a lot more out of their top pitchers. So, I mean, this is one lesson maybe that Tomoaki was trying to teach his young ace to say, hey, you want to be called the ace? You got to earn that, buddy.
Yeah, but I don't see how throwing 100 and, you know, it's just like, it's almost like, you know, some of the other Japanese sports like sumo where that's repetitive stress is what builds character, you know? So it's like, yeah. It seems like he was kind of going after that aspect that, hey, we'll put you out here. We'll let you go deep. But, you know, I just don't see that with such a young player. It's 22 years old to throw 161 pitches in a game. You're already losing. And you don't really have the bats to come back and win anyway, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really don't think this has anything to do with Kanemoto desiring to keep the team in the game or to, you know, use his best pitcher or anything like that. I think it was fully just teaching this kid a lesson. I think it's a terrible way to teach a kid a lesson, though. I mean, like, you know, you are potentially damaging his arm for the future. And so, yeah, some lesson he's going to learn. The lesson he's going to learn is to, you know, get off the Tigers roster as quick as possible and move on to the majors or whatever, if he can. Mm. Obviously, you know, that's a goal that he probably has for himself. But I would be surprised if the club is interested in posting him anytime soon.
Right.
And certainly this start will not perpetuate that by any means. Right. But one more thing to point out here, and I'm looking at an article that was written by Jim Allen, who is on the Japan Baseball Weekly podcast. And he said that he was looking through some books in history or some of his, you know, baseball guides and stuff like that. And since the start of the 2006 season, there have actually been 10 games in which a pitcher has gone 160 or more. So this isn't the first time it's happened in the past decade. It won't be the last time that it happens before the end of this decade. It might be the only one this season, mind you. So I think there's a guy, I believe he's with Lotte, named Wakui, and he has done it several times. Mm-hmm. But then also the most recent famous one would be Masahiro Tanaka,
Makun. True.
Who did it with the Rakuten Eagles. Again, this was in a crucial game. Absolutely. That really mattered. But he threw 160 pitches in Game 6 of the Nippon Series against the Yomiuri Giants in a losing cause. And actually, he came back the very next day and pitched the ninth inning to preserve the victory and the Nippon Series for the Eagles. Now, obviously, that was reckless overuse on their part. And I remember watching the game going, you've got to be kidding me. This is not Coach Yan. These are not high school boys. Not that it's acceptable to do to high school boys either, but, you know, this is pro baseball and you got to preserve these guys. And I mean, Makun hasn't exactly been, you know, the poster boy for, you know, clean health and durability since moving on to the majors. And you can't help but wonder if those final games there did a little bit of excessive damage to his arm. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Fujinami moving forward as far as arm damage.
Yeah, I don't blame the Tanaka incident. I mean, I think that, you know, game 6 of the Nippon Series, you know, and coming in to close the ninth, I mean, he was the MVP, I think, you know. So it definitely... I can see that is the one time that you get to that excessive of a pitch count. But as far as is, you know, going through and doing it in a game where, you know, we're already in last place, we are stinking it up. We, you know, don't have any kind of momentum at the bats for the game. You know, there's nothing, you know, to let him hit in the seventh there didn't make any sense. You know, you fine, let him hit, but then take him out. You know, it doesn't. It's not like you know, our pinch hitter would have done anything. There was two outs already, so I just don't see the benefit of it. I read also that the last time that Hanshin had a pitcher go more than 160 was Kei Igawa, who pitched 164 back in August 29th of 2001. So it's been 15 years since the Tigers let somebody go that far.
And we know how good Kei Igawa is now, or was for the Yankees as well, right? Okay, so a couple of questions I just want to throw at you, Joe, and we can kind of flesh this out a little bit. But what kind of impact do you think this has on Fujinami? I mean, you know, he probably didn't want to go out for the eighth inning. That would be my guess anyways. But he was probably forced. And, man, if you were watching the game or if anybody was watching the game, you could see just how heartless, emotionless. And I don't know if the cameras did some CG work or what, but man, Kanemoto just looked black. Like, I mean, his face, and I'm not talking Afro-American. I'm not being racist or nothing. Okay. So don't be offended by this and don't be calling me a hater. But his face just looked really dark, really cold and emotionless as this game was going on. And as Fujinami was pitching the eighth, there was nobody warming up in the bullpen. So what do you think was going through Fujinami's mind, and how do you think this is going to affect him moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, if you get given that situation where, you know, you've held it together, you gave up, you know, you had a tough start, you know, with the first five runs in those three innings, but then you came back and you gave three solid innings or four solid innings there of no run ball. I think, you know, you're like, okay, I don't know if I really want to go out there for the eighth, but then, you know, you get the nod and saying you're going, you know, I think that's a little bit of a boost, you know, after 130 pitches, I don't know, but at least it's a little bit of a confidence boost saying, hey, we know you can go out there and do it. You know, we know we want you to be special. I think that that's, you know, a good confidence boost, but as you get up there and you continue to struggle, and then for them not to set anybody up and to even, you know, have a thought of replacing you, you know, to come up while you're struggling after that many pitches, you know, you give up, you know, a little bit after that. I think that's almost a slap back in the face, you know, even though it was I'd say a slap on the butt, hey, go out there and do your job, you know, and then, you know, for them to just let him up there and flounder even more, I think that's more of a slap in the face. So
do you think that this is going to positively or negatively or not affect Fujinami moving forward?
You know, I think it's kind of a tale of two scenarios because, you know, like I said, it's a little bit of a confidence boost, but then it's a little bit of a beatdown. So, you know, he's gone far before. Like I said, last year he did 152. So I really don't think it's as bad as it may seem to some people. You know, you said that he wanted to be that person that they could rely on and go deep into games. And I think, you know, this is Kanemoto kind of calling him on it, saying, all right, here, let's do it. You know, in a situation that really didn't matter, which kind of sucks, but, you know, the team really doesn't have a lot of situations that matter because the bats aren't producing situations that matter. So, you know, it may just be where Kanemoto's deciding that, you know, we need to focus on setting ourselves up for next year and beefing up our younger talent. And this is, you know, maybe a little bit of the Japanese way of saying, hey, let's do this. So.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. So one of the other things that I thought about this was, you know, Fujinami, maybe he wasn't sure what was going on right away, but maybe when they said to him, look, you're going up to the plate in the bottom of the seventh, he was like, oh, that means you're going to use me in the top of the eighth. And maybe he wasn't ready for that. And I think maybe that kind of messed him up a little bit psychologically too, because maybe after he got out of the jam in the seventh and he'd thrown 131, he went back to the bench going, okay, my day's done. Like I can turn off my intensity a little bit. And so he kind of flicked the switch off maybe. Right. And then when they said, hey, what are you doing? Get up there to the plate and then get back there on the mound. He was like, whoa, wait a minute, wait a minute. And like his intensity level was not there at all.
Right.
So I think that might have definitely had an effect on him. Now, how that's going to affect him moving forward, I'm not really sure. I really hope that at the very least he can, you know, just really reflect on it a little bit more. And, you know, maybe he will try to be a little bit more of the pitcher that we saw on June the 1st when he faced the Eagles, where he he definitely was not going for the strikeouts. He was going for efficiency and saying, right. I'm going to let my fielders do the work. I think he needs to do absolutely. That in order to be you know, the ace that the team hopes he'll be and need him to be, and that we need him to you know, we need him to lead this team and start to pile up some more victories and get deeper into games. He needs to find a more efficient way of pitching.
Absolutely.
Sure. So I'm not saying I agree with what Kanemoto did. It was reckless. It definitely was a crazy way to teach a kid a lesson, but hopefully some good will come out of this. The final question I have for you, Joe, about this before we move on is, do you think that this has any effect on the morale of the team? I mean, when they see this happening, what do you think goes through the mind of the other players, maybe the other pitchers, or certainly at least the guys on the field as this is happening?
Yeah, I think it might be a little bit of a beatdown for the morale because, you know, obviously it shows no confidence in the bullpen. So that's going to hurt your bullpen, mm-hmm. right? Because mm-hmm. even in a game that was, you know, only two runs down, you're going to go with somebody that's 130 pitches in. I don't care who you are pitcher-wise. Having somebody come in after 130 to continue doesn't make a lot of sense. So, you know, I think that, number one, it really hurts the bullpen. Number two, I think it really hurts, you know, your fielders, and they're kind of going, really, guys, this is what we really want to do here? I think he needs to take a break, you know, because he's one of the better arms, one of the more solid people in our rotation. There's no sense in, mm-hmm. you know, having him – you know, hurt his elbow or arm or something after going so far. Yeah, he's going to have a rest next week, but that doesn't mean you kill him the week before, you know? So, you know, he's almost had two starts worth of pitches in one game. So, you know, it doesn't make sense. I think it compounds, you know, the further you get, it's kind of exponential in the tiredness you get. So, I just don't see how it helps the team at all morale wise.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So on that note, thanks for bringing that up. And I agree with you about the team morale thing for sure. I remember seeing also somebody had laid out kind of a chart of the average fastball speed for his pitches by inning. And they actually did the same thing with Makun's stuff in that 2013 game. And Makun's average fastball actually didn't drop much. I mean, it's slower than Fujinami's, but he didn't actually have a serious drop-off in his average fastball speed even in those later innings of the game, even as he got, you know, deeper into his pitch count. Whereas Fujinami, if you look at his seventh and eighth inning, I don't have the numbers in front of me, and I apologize for that. But, I mean, we're talking about a drop of, I think it was about 5 kilometers an hour on his fastball. So obviously he was gassed. Obviously his fastball wasn't beating anybody anymore. Mm-hmm. And so that definitely had a huge impact on that eighth inning when he allowed the three, you know, spine-breaking runs. But then also, as far as team morale goes, yeah, I mean, I don't know what the players or coaches were thinking, or I don't know if the other coaches were kind of in collusion or in agreement, like Koda, the pitching coach, and then Yano, who's kind of the battery slash strategy coach. I don't know if they were like in agreement or if they were too scared to say anything or what, but I can just imagine the players looking at each other going like, is he really doing this? Like, we're putting Fujinami out again? Oh man, what's wrong with this guy? And, you know, they probably wouldn't have the guts to bring it up in the clubhouse or anything, but they're certainly thinking it in their minds. And I think it just adds a little bit of extra fear. And I don't even think it's a healthy fear when it comes to the manager. Like, man, we don't know what he's going to do at any given point. Like, he's so unpredictable. And he's willing to punish players during games for either for having poor performance. Like, I mean, part of it was Fujinami giving up the 3 runs in the first inning. What's he going to do next? And I think that it really negatively affects the team. And I don't know if that's the reason that we got slaughtered on Saturday and Sunday, or if it's just because we stink, or if it's just because Hiroshima's that good. But I really don't think that has a good impact on the team. And I'm scared for what's going to happen the rest of the way with this club.
What's going to happen with the record going to be? What's going to happen with the record going to be? What's going to happen with the record going to be? What's going to happen with the record going to be?
See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 prediction. See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 prediction.
What's going to happen with the...
Well, on that note, we are going to move forward, and we actually have a short week ahead of us.
Yay!
Good thing, man. Good thing. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, the worst we can finish this week is 2 games below 500. So we are heading to Swallows Land. We're actually playing one in the countryside. We're playing one in Nagano, and then we're going to play at Jingu Stadium in Tokyo for the second one. And I believe if we keep with our rotation order, we're going to have Randy out in Nagano, and then we'll have Iwazaki in at Jingu Park.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going up against the fifth place Swallows. If we win both, we find our way out of last place. If we split the series or if we lose both, we're still in last place. So what do you think, Joe? What's going to happen?
You know what? I'm going to go for the first time this year. I am going to call a complete win for the week. I have some confidence in the team that we can come back. It's the only time this year I think I could say this, that there's a prayer that we could win all the games during the week.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, you know, I think it's a stretch, but I'd like to see a confidence boost in a, you know, going into the All-Star break and have some momentum going into that. I think it really could bolster the rest of the season at least. You know, we might go 1-1, but I think Randy's going to win for sure. So I'm going to roll the dice on the second game and say we win it.
Okay. I'm going to go opposite, 0-2. And the reason is I don't know what the park is like in Nagano, but typically these ballparks are not wide and spacious, and right. So they tend to be hitters' parks. I think if it comes down to a battle of the bats, I know that the Swallows have very poor starting pitching and relief pitching this year. Their pitching is atrocious, but our hitting is also atrocious,
true.
And their hitting is not. In case anybody's missed it, Tetsuto Yamada had hit his 29th home run on Sunday, and so he is on pace to go over 50 on the year. The first Japanese hitter to hit over 50 in a season since Hideki Matsui. So if it comes down to a battle of the bats, I say we come out on the losing end both times. And this is not a knock on Randy or on Iwazaki, but I think it's going to be 0-2. I hope not, but that's what I'm calling.
All right. Well, let's see what happens.
Yes, we will see what happens. Yeah. So everybody, thank you so much for your love and support. Thank you for retweeting. Thank you for sharing the podcast, episode 37, in which I interviewed Aki Bubek, ukulele punk girl. And the autograph CD is up for grabs, and so we are going to do the random draw online, live, right now. I've got a list of 23 people on my computer, and it's going to do a random name generator or random name picker. And we will decide who the winner is of this autographed CD. Thank you all again for the retweets, for the shares, and so on. By the way, some of you retweeted my retweet, or you retweeted my reminder. And what that does is then I have to go back and track every reminder that I gave and see who retweeted the reminders. And that's kind of tricky. So next time if we do this again, please retweet the actual podcast episode. That way, they're all in one place. I know exactly who has retweeted or shared. Appreciate it. All right. So without further ado, here we go. We are going to pick the random winner right now. And the winner is... Pete Duffy. Pete Duffy, who has been following me on Twitter, on Facebook, he's on the H10 page, he's on the Hanshin Tigers game day page. He loves the Hanshin Tigers. Congratulations, Pete. This one's for you. Appreciate your support, and I hope you enjoy the CD. So I'll be getting in touch with you to get your mailing information, and we'll send that CD off to you real soon. Thank you again, and just a reminder, there will be more contests coming up. So stay tuned, continue to listen to H10, continue to enter in these draws. I'd love for you to get some good merchandise as well. That's it for now. All right. Well, it has been a pleasure talking with you again, Joe. I'm glad to have you back.
Yeah, glad to be back in the swing of things.
Yeah, for sure. And so we look forward to having you with us through the rest of the season. By the way, everybody, next week marks the one-year anniversary for H10, the podcast.
There you go.
Isn't that something? Yeah, we started after the All-Star break last year. So we might do a little bit of trips down memory lane during next week's show. But at the very least, I do plan to have another contest. So stick around for the details of that. Make sure you listen to episode 39 next week for the details. So that's that. We are heading into All-Star break. Hope you all enjoy a little bit of time away from baseball. I know I'm going to, and I hope you do as well, Joe. I hope you enjoy a little bit more time off of baseball before we head back into the final grind of the season.
Yeah, I don't think the All-Star game is going to be something I'm really looking forward to watching, so.
No, me neither. All right. So if you would like to contact us, we would love to hear from you, of course. Continue to check in on us on Facebook. We've got the Hanshin Tigers English News page there. That's rolling along. I put up news other than the website updates. Twitter at the Hanshin Tiger. And I'm starting to pick up some momentum there. I'm doing a lot more tweeting than I used to. So that would be a good place to find me. And then also just go to the website or send us an email, podcast@thehanshintigers.com. All right, everybody, enjoy your week. Joe, enjoy your week.
All right, you too.
All right, see y'all next time.